to Total Wealth Academy's GetTotalWealth.com radio show, where wealth includes much more than just money. It includes family, fitness, romance, travel, charity, and all the other parts of a balanced life. Listen and learn how 70% of the millionaires in America made their money and were able to lead more balanced lives using real estate. Now, your host, real estate investor and consultant, Steve Davis.
Good afternoon and welcome to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, and as always, we're here together working to improve our financial IQ. This is something that is common language, I guess, among the wealthy, but I didn't realize that not a lot of people know that you have multiple IQs. You have, you know, your standard intellect IQ that really kind of sits above all of them. It's kind of an umbrella. Then you've got your fitness IQ, your nutrition IQ, you've got your sexual IQ, you've got your family IQ, you've got your financial IQ. Every part of a balanced life requires a level of intelligence to excel at it. So many people go through life just dealing with things as they come up, and it leads to a very mediocre life, because they're constantly reacting. And as a rule, what they're doing is they're just going off of past experience. In other words, their mother responded this way when this happens, so they respond that way. This, even though they hated it when their mom responded that way. I mean, I want to be very cautious about what I'm about to say, because I love my parents. My parents loved me. I had great parents. But they were constantly reacting. They were very insecure. They would do things traditionally instead of what is effective. In other words, it's always been done this way, so that's how we're going to do it. I'm like, but it doesn't work. There's a better way. No, it's family tradition. I don't like the word tradition at all, with some exceptions. You know, the Christmas tradition, wonderful. But just about any other place that somebody hides behind, oh, it's a tradition, it's because they're too lazy to go find a better way to do it. Or they're just too dumb. But I think that's a rare case. Most people are pretty darn smart. There's another word. There's tradition. I can't think of the other word, but it's very similar to tradition. And it's just stupid. It's just lazy. So what you become is, by doing it that way, by not studying, by not finding new ways, more effective ways to do everything in your life, you become the worn-out memories of the past. You just stereotypical. You know, I refer to this quite often. It's boring, people. You're boring. If you do everything the way, I got a buddy. My dad taught me. Bro, your dad died of heart disease at 54. He didn't quite get it right. Why are you imitating? Who cares what your dad did? Is it effective or ineffective? Is there a more effective way? But again, instead of researching, reading, and trying to find the best way to do everything, they just go with their past. This is how my mama did it. This is how my daddy did it. And again, even though they hated it when their dad or mom did it that way. And I see this all the time. People have trouble with their kids. It's like, because it's the same reason you had trouble with your parents, because you're imitating your parents raising your kids. You're doing the same thing your parents did to you that you hated to your kids. And you don't understand why you're having problems? And I think the ego gets involved in this. And remember, the ego does not like to be wrong. And I notice people get defensive if I ever bring up, well, you could have said this, and then they defend for 5 minutes what they just saw didn't work. And this is why Stephen Covey, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, was such a life changer for America. You know, it was named the most influential book of the 20th century, is because he goes, look, there is no right or wrong. See, the right or wrong are words of the ego. The ego doesn't like to be wrong, loves to be right, even when it knows it's wrong. He said, if you want to keep your ego in check, don't use the words right or wrong. Look at things as either effective or ineffective. See, your ego suddenly disappears, doesn't it? It's like, well, okay, that tradition didn't work. That tradition was ineffective. Let me start a new tradition. I'm going to start doing things the effective way. And that requires an IQ. And again, it's every single arena of your life. Fitness, nutrition, sex, wealth, you got to read and study. If you think for a second, if you're not in the financial position you want to be in, and you think for a second that you know it all, you are in a state of denial. Because if you knew what to do, the right things to do, you probably would have done it by now. But you don't, because your parents weren't multimillionaires, your high school teachers weren't, your college professors weren't, and they gave you all these bogus beliefs. And so your IQ, financially, we'll discuss, is low. It's based off of people's unqualified past experience. They shared their past experience with you. Problem was, they weren't multimillionaires. They shouldn't have been telling you about money. All right, we'll talk more about this when we come back from the break. This is the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. Thanks for listening.
Do you dream of a better life for you and your family? Do you want more time with the family? Would you like to be less dependent on a job for your income? Would you like to travel more? The solution is simple. Build a second stream of income. We can show you how. We are offering a free 2-hour sample class on how to use real estate to build a second stream of income for you and your family. To reserve a seat, visit GetTotalWealth.com and click on the free class button at the top of the page. That's GetTotalWealth.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, where we're really talking about the financial IQ and how the poor and middle class, successful versus unsuccessful. Unsuccessful people weren't even aware. They just knew of one big IQ. The thing you got to understand is I've met people with moderate general IQs that were literally gods in some of the other IQs or goddesses. I'm trying to think of an example. Without mentioning names, I know a guy who's of average intellect, not very funny, you know, just an average person. But when you bring him a apartment complex to evaluate, he comes to life. It's like you flipped a switch and suddenly this average person, not dumb, don't get me wrong, let's say he's a little above average, but not a genius by any stretch. But when it comes to operating apartment complexes, he's a genius. Never seen anything like him. Just, he gets into the numbers, he gets passionate about it. And I don't think I've ever seen him make a mistake. In fact, I know I've never seen him make a mistake. I'm sure he has, but I've never seen it. So you can be exceptional at 2 or 3, 4 of the 8 parts of a balanced life, even if you're of average or whatever normal IQ. You might be a genius in one arena, but not an overall genius, if that makes sense. And the reason I tell you that is because I feel like I'm a little above average when it comes to my general IQ. But when it comes to teaching, I feel like I'm way above average. And there are statistics or results of my teachings that are literally up to, well, let's put it this way. I went to Dallas one time and I was talking to this big national speaker, and he told me that his close ratio was around 15%. I didn't have the heart to tell him that we were closing 45, 55%. So I knew right then and there that my sales ability was 4 or 5 times higher than even some of these big names. Another big name, we stood on the stage together and he sold 8 memberships. I sold 35. Same day, same group of people. So I know that my IQ for sales and teaching, and those things are very, very similar the way I use them, because teaching is about selling. You've got to sell somebody on your idea. That's teaching. Teaching is sales. So I realized, you know, I'm above average, way above average in that arena. Sorry if that comes across as bragging, but it's just I've got the statistics to back it up. So don't be afraid or think, man, I got to be great at this, great at all 8 arenas. Now, you do need to be good in all arenas, but you need to pick one that you're going to be great at, because that's how you make money. You got to be great at whatever you do. So usually that's your career you try to be great at, and your wealth, you got to be above average. So the whole gist of these two segments is this: break down your life into the 8 parts and start studying each of the 8 parts. Raise your IQ in every arena of your life. And the wonderful thing is that the better your fitness gets, the better your work will get, because you have higher energy, you feel better, you're more confident. The better you do at work, the more money you make, which gives you money for romance so you get better at that. They all work together. Skip one of them, you're going to get unbalanced and you're going to have trouble. So read. There's books about everything. Raising kids, sex, fitness, nutrition, romance, family. There's books on everything. And nowadays they're all available on audio. You just download them to your device, get in your car, and while you're commuting, hit play. And next thing you know, you've gotten 2 or 3 hours of books in every single week. Multiply that times 52 weeks. You could get probably 16, 20 books done in a year. That means you read 2 books for each of the 8 arenas of a balanced life. So keep in mind, there's an IQ for every part of a balanced life, not just the general intelligence IQ. And work to excel at each one of them. Don't beat yourself up if you're not great at every one, but make sure you're good at each one. And then I do want to remind you that if you're not reading nonfiction books, if you don't read nonfiction books, you are getting dumber every year. Every year. Think about it. Does your memory get better or worse as you get older? Worse. So you're forgetting stuff that you learned in high school and college. And you're not reading nonfiction books, so you're not putting anything in place of it. And people all the time will say, yeah, but I got life experience. Yeah, but you're on wife number 4, you're broke. It was bad life experience. Don't brag about bad life experience. Life experience is generally not good. I know that's, it's good at times, but most people's, the vast majority of people's life experience is not good. And part of it is because they don't even know what to look for. You know, they get beat up, they get fired, they get pay cuts, they get overweight, they stop working out, they end up in sexless marriages, and that's not the type of life experience you brag about. So make sure you're reading nonfiction books or listening to nonfiction books and getting out to seminars, meeting new people. I guess I'll bring that point up. You'll be the same person in 5 years as you are today, except for the nonfiction books that you read and the new people that you meet. You want to know why people are boring? Because they're the same person 5 years from now that they were 5 years ago. They don't read, they don't meet new people, they're just flipping boring. And I don't know if you're aware of this. This was way, I'm reaching on this one, I get it. But you know why most people get divorced? Boredom. It ain't money. It's boredom. You bored your spouse to death. That's why they left. You're boring. Now, there are exceptions to that rule. You could have been a little crazy and married somebody crazy. But most of the time, it's just flat-out boredom. If you want to research that, you can read Jerry Spence. He's an attorney. His book is called How to Argue and Win Every Time. Sounds like a vain title, but he talks about how in a love relationship, losing the argument is winning. You'll have to read the book because that would take me 30 minutes to explain. Okay, let me open the phone lines. If you've got a question for me about anything to do with building wealth for yourself and your family with real estate, give me a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. or you're welcome to email me. A few of you have already done so. It's asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. Now, we're going to break here in a minute or two. When we come back, I'm going to pull up a analysis of a commercial property. One of the things you need to understand is the value of commercial property is not based off of comparable sales. You can have two identical apartment complexes side by side. One's worth $20 million, the other one's only worth $15 million. Why? Because of management style. It's based off of the net operating income, and I'm going to teach you how to evaluate a commercial property, how to find the net operating income when we come back from the break. All right, this is the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I'm your host, Steve Davis. Thanks for listening.
Are you tired of losing money in every down market? Did you know that real estate makes money in both the up and down markets? In fact, we make more money in the down market. Hi, this is Steve Davis, host of the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. Yes, we're hoping for a down market, and you should know why. To find out, attend our free 2-hour free sample class. To reserve a seat, visit GetTotalWealth.com and click on the free workshop button at the top of the page. That's GetTotalWealth.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, where we're about to do, I'm going to share with you how commercial property is evaluated. Now, this applies to strip shopping centers, RV parks, mobile home parks, apartment complexes, self-storage. And it also explains how we're able to dictate the value of our real estate. We can literally change the value of something that we buy. We buy it for $5 million. By managing it properly, we can turn it into a $10 million property. All from the management style. All from running it correctly. Caring about our tenants, taking care of them, providing the services necessary to do so in an efficient way allows us to increase a thing called the net operating income. To put the net operating income simply, what you do is you take all of your income. This would be rent and miscellaneous, which could be laundromats, parking spaces, keyless entry, all the different ways that you charge your tenants, late fees, everything. Every dime that that property produces, you add it all up, and that's your total income. You then subtract all expenses, garbage, gas, electric, employees, maintenance, management, taxes, insurance, every expense except the mortgage. Except the mortgage. And that gives you your net operating income. The net operating income determines the value of the property. Okay? Not comparable sales. The net operating income. So an example would be, if I've got a $400,000 NOI, net operating income, to determine the value of it, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the capitalization rate, which we'll discuss in a moment, in this case, about a 6% cap rate, divided by 0.06, $400,000 divided by 0.06 equals, that doesn't make any sense at all. My calculator is having a fit. It should be. Oh, yeah, that is right. I was looking for the number 10 million. That's right. It's 6.7 million. That's the value of the property. 6.7 million. You take the NOI and divide it by the capitalization rate, or the rate of return that a bank would get if they foreclosed on the property. See, NOI is before the mortgage payment. You pay your mortgage out of the NOI, leaving your cash flow. So NOI comes before cash flow. NOI is all expenses except the mortgage. Cash flow is all expenses including the mortgage taken out. So how do we determine the cap rate? Nobody like, I've never heard a definition of this that I liked, and I've sat in 6-hour explanations of capitalization rates. They fluctuate. Right now, the capitalization rates are compressed because we're in the up market. So a lot of properties are selling at 4, 4.5 cap rates. As you can imagine, that increases the value of the property, sometimes dramatically. Let's look at that $400,000 NOI again. We divided it by 0.06, or a 6 cap, and it came out to 6.7 million. Let's divide it by 0.04, and guess what? That means the property is 10 million in value. So in today's market, commercial property is highly valuable. The problem is, it could be easy to overpay. Easy to overpay. We are being extremely cautious in our commercial properties during these times, because it's not if the correction is coming, it's when. Now, please understand, though, some of you who are speculators, you're used to losing in the down market. We don't lose in the down market. But property values do drop. Go back to 2008. I had 11 apartment complexes, a little less, right at 4,000 units. And let's say I made 80 grand a month off of them. In 2008, the values dropped 20, 30%. Did I care? No, my cash flow was still $80,000 a month. And what happened after that? The rents went up in 2009, 10, and 11. That $80,000 a month turned into closer to $90,000 a month. See why we love the down market? We literally make more money in the down market than we do the up market. And see, you deserve to have that too. If you are a speculator, in other words, you're in the stock market, when the crash comes, you get slaughtered. We don't. That's why you want to have some real estate in your portfolio. We make more money in the down market. So what happens to the cap rates is they go up. The banks don't want to take the risk, so they want a higher cap rate. As I mentioned, the cap rate is the rate of return the bank would get if they had to foreclose on you, because they get all of the NOI because they don't have a mortgage. They don't have to make a mortgage payment. They paid cash for the property. So if they foreclose and take the property back, they get all $400,000 of that NOI, giving them a 6% rate of return. And a bank's happy with that. Well, I better be careful. Do they like owning the real estate? They do not. they sell it as quickly as they can because they are not real estate investors. Bankers know diddly squat about investment real estate. Sorry, bankers, you don't. So they want to get rid of it as quickly as possible. So let's take an example of a deal. 200 units over off 290 and 610 in Houston. Purchase price $4 million. Rehab, holding, and closing costs $1 million for a total of $5 million all in. This thing had a $400,000 NOI. Is it worth $5 million? Yes, even at a high cap rate. So you take the $400,000, the bank says, look, this is a high-risk deal. We want a high rate of return. Divided by 0.08 means that property is worth $5 million bucks, and we're buying it for $5 million. Now, why is this deal important? Because it's a full-price deal. We paid full price for that thing. It was worth $5 million. We paid $5 million. The reason that that's important is I don't want you to think that you have to constantly go out there and steal real estate and that every deal is this incredibly discounted deal. No, we paid full price for it. But at the end of 2 years, by rehabbing the property, evicting the drug dealers, the thugs, the prostitutes, putting in good families, what happened to the NOI? It went up. At the end of 2 years, we had a $600,000 NOI. We go back to the bank and say, look, we want to refinance this. We've completely rehabbed it. It's 95% occupied, which is about as high as you're going to get. There's no such thing as 100% occupied, sorry. And the bank says, what? Sure, we'd love to refinance it because that's how we make money, is by loaning it. So yeah, we'll refinance it. We'll even give you a lower cap rate because it's not a high-risk deal anymore. In this case, they gave us a 6% cap rate. So we take the $600,000 and divide it by 0.06. Now remember, we paid $5 million for that. 2 years later, that thing is worth $10 million. We doubled the value of that property in 2 years. And this happens all the time with commercial property. A lot of you see buildings bought and sold, and you're like, well, why did they buy and sell them so fast? Because they doubled their value and sold them. That's how commercial real estate works. As an example, if you'd have been a member of Total Wealth Academy and been in this deal, if you'd have had $100,000 in this deal as a passive investor, you would have walked away with $300,000 at the end of 2 years. Pretty powerful tool, commercial real estate. All right, we'll talk more after the break. This is the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. Thanks for listening. I'm Steve Davis of Total Wealth Academy. Many people think they need hundreds of thousands of dollars to successfully invest in real estate. That's simply not true. If you have $50,000 or more in investable assets, you can begin passive investing today. No worrying with contractors or tenants, and you get all the benefits of real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free 90-minute sample class live or online. Visit GetTotalWealth.com and click the free sample class button. That's GetTotalWealth.com. Thank you. Welcome back to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. If you had any questions about anything I just covered, give me a call, 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV, or email me. It's asksteve@gettotalwealth.com, asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. So, now that you understand, or I hope if I did a good job, understand that commercial real estate, you determine the value of the property. you do by taking care of it, maintaining it properly, keeping the income as high as you can possibly get it, doing everything you can to increase the NOI. You know, the simple rule is this: for every $1 that you increase the NOI, you raise the value of the property by $17. So if you raise the NOI by $100,000, what's that do to the value? It raises the value by $1.7 million. Let's do something fun. Say we have a 500-unit apartment, and we start charging $25 a month for keyless entry, and 50% of the people take it. So 250 times $25 is $62.50 a month. It goes straight to your NOI times 12. That's $75,000 a year divided by 0.06, your cap rate. You increase the value, oh Lord of mercy, $1.25 million. You increased your net worth $1.25 million by adding keyless entry for $25 a month to your property. And only, you have a 500 unit, only 50% of the people take it. If just 50% of the people take it, you increase the value of your property by $1.25 million. It's insane. This is why we're getting wealthy. I mean, it's amazing. All right, phone lines are open, 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV, or email me. It's asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. Okay, Nicholas, this is a question about turnkey deals. Nicholas, you have to understand that all sources for real estate deals are good and all sources for real estate deals are bad. I've found deals from attorneys, family, friends, neighbors, foreclosures, divorces, lazy landlords. All sources can be good or bad. What you do, Nicholas, you just add it to your list of sources and do your analysis. But what I'm finding when analyzing turnkey deals, they're full price. You're not getting any equity capture. So turnkey deals are more like speculation. You're buying low to sell high later on. I don't like that. Don't do that. Now, if you find a turnkey deal where the ARV is 200 and you can pick it up for 180, okay, then you would go to the next phase, which is, does it cash flow? Well, then you look at the cash flow and the thing produces $350, $400 a month cash flow. That's a deal. So a turnkey could be a deal, but you assume it's not, and you run your numbers just like you would any deal. So I'm not here to tell you that all turnkey deals are bad, but I would suggest that probably 90%+ of them are full price or above in some cases. They're just, most are not good deals, but you might find a good deal. So it's worth analyzing them. Let me see if there's any other questions. Oh, is it better to dip my toes in the water or is it better to jump in and learn more that way? None of that jumping in, Nicholas. You run your comparable sales on the property to figure out the exact investor value. You run your cash flow analysis to find out exactly what your cash on cash rate of return. Don't do any single family deal that doesn't have a 15% cash on cash rate of return or higher. Don't do any single family deal that doesn't have 10% equity going in. None of that jumping in. you jump into a bad deal, what it does is it negs you out, Nicholas, and you think that real estate doesn't work. You want your first deal to be a winner. Doesn't have to be a home run, but hopefully a double or a triple. So watch out for that concept of, oh, just dive in. Forget that. You want to be highly educated. You do want to move quickly, but yeah, none of that, just dive in. All right, phone lines are open, 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. Let's go out to Katie now. Rob has called in. Rob, thank you so much for calling in. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Steve.
How can I help?
I was just asking, I got like the passive income and the buy and flip strategies down good. I got the physical health, and I work out, and excellent. I eat moderately healthy, and I'm spiritual is pretty good. I'm a Christian, but I have a question. What about like the romantic social side? Do you have any tips on that?
You know, that one's a sensitive subject, obviously, because it involves sex and people get, you know, all up in arms. But there's multiple...
Girlfriend. I've really never had a long-term girlfriend my whole life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I would say, as odd as this sounds, have you read The 7 Habits of Highly Affected People? Rob, are you still there? I think we lost Rob or lost me, one or the other. Yeah, if you want to call back, Rob, do so, 281-558-5738. The first step, in my opinion, to a long-term, beautiful relationship is in the 7 Habits of Highly Affected People. It's a concept called the emotional bank account. And understanding how to make deposits into your romantic interests bank account. Now, here's the catch, Rob. There's 5 different love languages. Like with my wife, if you buy her a $5,000 purse, sure, she loves it, but that's not her love language. But if I give her a back rub in the evening, tell her how beautiful she is, ooh, let me tell you, that is a deposit. That's a deposit into the emotional bank account. If you call your girlfriend dumb or you say something mean to them, that's a withdrawal. And the challenge is it takes 10 times as many deposits to undo one withdrawal. Lord, we've only got a couple minutes, but if you read the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Affected People, till you clearly understand the emotional bank account, then read the book. I think it's called The 5 Love Languages. I do not know the author right offhand, but when you combine those two strategies, and you got to be careful though, Rob. You have to truly care about the person you use these techniques on. Otherwise, they're just bogus. You're just a scammer. But when you find somebody you care about and that you want to fall in love with, use those two techniques. It works. It works. But you got to read both those books and then truly care for and eventually love the person you're trying to romance. It works. And there's obviously a lot more to it as well. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. We do have a free introductory workshop this Saturday. Somebody just emailed me about it. Go to GetTotalWealth.com. GetTotalWealth.com. The information is there.
You've been listening to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. Please remember that this show is for entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investing advice. Always get a professional opinion before making any investment decision. To find out about coaching and consulting at Total Wealth Academy, visit GetTotalWealth.com and attend one of our free sample classes on real estate investing. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day. We'll be right back.